Hey everyone, welcome once again to Podcast In Death, the weekly podcast where we discuss the in-depth series of books by J.D. Robb. I am AJ.
I'm Tara.
And this is episode 230 of Podcast In Death.
Wow.
And I don't even, I feel bad because I don't remember. Somebody messaged me and said, hey, can we do an episode about Whitney specifically? And I think it was somebody on Instagram. I'm going to have to look that up now. Jamie's Illustrations said,
okay.
Hi, ladies. I hope you're all well. I had an idea for a podcast. Could you do one with Commander Whitney, all his funny and protective moments, and him and Feeny's story moments? I'm not sure if it will be long, but I love all the moments with him, from drinking green stuff his wife gave him to getting chips when Eve got shot, and then when he and the gang hightail it to Ireland. Wasn't there a scene with a fish? I'm sorry, I haven't been on here. I'm in the process of moving to another state and another job. I haven't even read Passions. That's a first. Anyway, I hope it's an idea that you can explore and expand. Take care. And I said, yes, that would be great. I said, great moments with Commander Whitney, which is... there's a Disneyland reference because Disneyland has great moments with Mr. Lincoln.
Oh.
But ours is great moments with Mr. Whitney. Commander Whitney. So anyway, so I put on the Facebook group earlier this week for everyone to give us their suggestions of their favorite moments with Whitney. And we get a lot of responses.
We did. I think it's awesome.
So, do you want to read the responses?
Yeah. Well, we'll start there. How about that? So AJ posted like 3-4 days ago asking for everyone's favorite Commander Whitney moments. And these are our awesome responses. So Betsy said when he reminisces about the old days, which is actually, it's like one of those things where when he does it, it doesn't seem like he's one of those people who's just like, oh, I remember when. Like, he definitely has a purpose for when he does bring those, you know, so it's nice.
Yeah.
Jasmine said when he remarked about Dallas being called his pet poodle and said more like a Rottweiler. I do not remember what book that was, but I do remember that happening.
Somebody down farther, that's in Payback. So hang on a second. Okay. Let me see if I can pull that up. That's one I haven't pulled up. I was telling Tara, I was trying to find all these and mark them and, you know, write them down, and I ran out of time. So let me see if I can find Payback and see where that is. Okay, so yeah, in Payback, this was after, I think after she got into the scuffle with Dennison. Was that his name?
I do not remember his name, but I think you're right.
Lansing.
Yeah, I was like, as far as his name, I don't remember.
I think the other guy's name was
Dennison.
Dennison.
I've only read it once, so.
Yeah, because Whitney came in and Whitney saw everything happen. And he came in and kind of broke it up and told everybody to go back to work, essentially. And he told Eve, you know, your office. Eve says to everyone, party's over, go be cops. Whitney says, I assume I'm going to need coffee. And Eve says to him, take the desk chair, I'll get the coffee and set the recording on screen. And Whitney says, did he threaten you physically? And Eve says, yes, sir, he did. Whitney says, one question before I review the record, how did you stop Jenkinson from laying him out? And Eve said, wasn't easy, on screen. And then they watched what happened. And this is when he saw the guy say, you're his, Whitney's pet poodle. And says, pet poodle, Whitney murmured. Rottweiler might work better. Hit me again. And he passed her his empty mug.
I do like that part. I need to reread that book.
Yeah, you know, I have to reread it too. Because, you know, these are books that we could probably reread when we get to the end of all of the books.
Right. At this point,
Yeah, we probably have more to say about each of them.
So Pansy said, I have a few. When he went to Ireland with everyone, which was great. Right. When he apologized to Eve for having to take her badge, which I remember when we read that, when we did our review on that book, we talked a little bit more in depth about like what that what position that put him in, and just like
right.
how sincere his reactions were and how sincere this apology was.
Well, and, so and is, how, yeah, I mean, how
his hands were tied about,
he was pretty much just as devastated as she was that he had to do it in the first place.
Yeah. So, agree. That's also one of my favorite moments, Pansy.
Yeah.
when he was complaining about his wife making him drink the protein shakes and he wanted coffee.
Right.
It's like a down to earth Whitney moment. And then she said, I have more, but I have to give the other others a chance to answer. Christine said, when he has cigars with Rourke and asks Eve to call him Jack, and she says, I really can't do that.
Yeah. So,
so nice.
Yeah. So that was in Seduction.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I thought that was an earlier book.
Yeah. So that was in Seduction, and they had Whitney over to talk about the case. They didn't just have him over to, like, you know, at a party
just or hang out.
Just to hang out. He was coming over.
Was it Seduction
over.
Or was it Betrayal?
No, it's Seduction.
Okay.
Because that's one that I did write down here.
Oh.
And it's saying, Whitney and Rourke were sharing after dinner coffee and cigars when Eve walked in. She actually heard Whitney laugh, not the low rumbling chuckles she occasionally heard out of him, but a big rollicking belly laugh, and that stopped her in her tracks. He was still grinning from it when she managed to unstick her feet and continue into the dining room. And he says, I don't know how the pair of you stay so fit with the menu to choose from in this place. Amusement slid slyly over Rourke's face as he lifted his cup. We work out a lot. Isn't that right, darling? Like, Rourke. Seriously.
It's so great, though.
And she says, yeah, exercise is key to good health. I'm glad you enjoyed your meal, sir. Feeny's on electronics. I've, you know, because she's all she's all business. Yeah. She's, anyway.
Yeah.
So here's the business.
It's so good.
I've arranged surveillance, blah, blah. And she tells him all this stuff. And, you know, she's giving him the full, like, rundown. And when she was done, says Whitney puffed on the cigar, a small luxury his wife denied him. Do you ever wind down, Dallas? At her blank look, he shook his head. Sit down, have some coffee. Everything's being done that can be done. We can't move on until the PA reports it. So,
no, it's really good stuff.
Yeah. But later on in that conversation, he says to her, you're an exceptional cop, Lieutenant. Exceptional cops burn out faster than mediocre ones. A good marriage helps. I can attest to that. Children, he added, and then laughed when her expression of sheer horror. When the time comes, friendships, family, in other words, a life outside of the job. Without it, you can forget why you do what you do, why it matters, that every time you close a case, put one down, there's one less. And she says, yes, sir. And he says, I think since I've sat here eating your food, smoking your man's very excellent cigar, you could call me Jack. She thought about it for about three seconds. No, sir. I'm sorry. I can't. So.
it's just not possible. Sorry.
But, yeah. And it's so nice that he did give her that, like, look, I'm telling you this right. Exceptional cops burn out faster, and you have got to have an outside life.
She's like, no.
Yeah, because it was obvious that she was so uncomfortable with him there, like it was a social occasion.
She has a really hard time, like, thinking of him as a person who would go home and smoke a cigar and hang out with friends and be called right. Jack instead of Commander.
Right. Because to her, like, when they're together, like, he's the commander and she's the lieutenant, especially in a situation like this where they're still on a case and really he's there about the case. But so it was nice in that moment for him to go, like, you really need to understand, like, you need time with family and friends, to be just someone that has family and friends and not a cop.
It's, yeah, it's so good though, just how Eve cannot, she cannot.
She can't.
Mary Lou said, when he and Dallas watched the fish that his wife gave him swim around and around in the bowl on his desk. Is that one from
Judgment, yeah, that Betrayal? Is also from Seduction. Do you want to read that one? It's, so it's in my,
is it in your notes? Sorry. I was doing from the, yeah, I will. I'm not sure. I was like, I feel like there were a lot of really good ones around that time period. A fluted bowl sat on the right corner of the desk. It was filled with cerulean water and its smooth colored stone shimmering in the base. While she puzzled over it, she caught the quick flash of scarlet. My wife, Whitney said when he ended the call, she thinks it cheers up the office. Supposed to relax me. What the hell am I supposed to do with a damn fish? I couldn't say, sir. For a moment, both of them studied the red streak that circled the bowl. Knowing the commander's wife was keen on fashion and decor, Eve searched for a polite comment. It's fast. Crazy thing spins around like that most of the day. I get tired just looking at it. At that rate, it will probably wear itself out and die within a couple of weeks. Your mouth to God's ear.
So, yeah.
It's so good.
That was one of the best scenes. You know, Eve trying to think of something nice to say.
It's fast.
It's fast, you know. But then she has to go on and say, like, eh, it'll probably die in a couple weeks anyway.
It's just, like, such a relatable feeling, though, to be in that. We're like, it's fast. That's me when I go see a friend in a show I didn't want to see, but I go to support them. And they'll be like, what'd you think? And I'd be like, you look awesome. Like, wow, your hair looks so good. And you just sweated under that wig for 2 hours.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you just have to try to find something positive to say.
Oh my God. It's so good. Let's see. Tess said in the Ireland story, so I don't know which one that is.
Yeah,
he realized that Eve's case was one of his unsolved cold cases. His inner cop surfaced. You could see how he was during his street days. Is that?
Oh. I do remember this one. Yes.
Okay. God, that's so, like, my brain is like, when did I read Shadows last?
Shadows has been a while for us, right? Actually. Right? Hang on, so let me see if I can find that.
Okay.
I've said this before, but, like, why can't the Kindle app use AI to search every single one of your books at once?
Right? That would be amazing.
Commander Whitney sat at his desk, blah, blah. He says for her to come in. And she says, Commander, thanks for making the time. So she said she's talking about, she mentions Lorcan Cobb. Lorcan Cobb identified by a witness and through security footage. Says Whitney held up a finger. I know that name. How do I know that name? Most alphabet agencies on the planet know that name, sir. He is suspected of multiple hits in multiple countries. He works primarily in Europe, is an Irish citizen. Rourke, son of a bitch. At the angry curse, the way Whitney shoved away from his desk had Eve snapping to attention and into silence. Whitney rarely lost composure, and now, with his face thunderous, he paced in front of his glass wall and those shining towers. I know that goddamn name. He strode to his office door, flung it open. Get Captain Feeney in here now. Slammed it shut. Home invasion, 3 dead. Adam and Ellen Solomon and their 16-year-old son Thaddeus. The wife and son had their throats slit. Solomon was tortured, then gutted, left to bleed out. Feeney and I caught the case. And Eve says, you and Feeney when you were partners? No, after. It was about 20 years ago. Feeney had homicide and I had organized crime, and I turned Solomon. He worked for Colin Boswell, etc., etc. Calmer, he walked to his office fridgey, took out 2 tubes of water. Feeney stepped in, gave Eve a nod. Dallas, Commander Lorcan fucking Cobb, Whitney said and gulped down water. Eve watched Feeney's droopy basset hound eyes scrunch up in puzzlement. He scratched fingers through his explosion of silver threaded ginger hair. And she saw the memory flashback. Stabbing in Washington Square, right? McNabb's working the E's, but I didn't get the details yet. It was Cobb? And Whitney says for her to catch him up. But so, yeah.
That's, yeah. I do remember it. That is pretty great, too. He's yes. like, the fucking small world, man. We get a like little glimpse of him when he's like actually like getting to do like street cop work and stuff.
Right. And it also has there's a reason now for him to be pulled in mm-hmm. specifically to the case instead of like, just, well, just update me as you go along.
Just like, you know, it's not as arbitrary for you to be around when we all fly to Ireland, except for it's a little arbitrary for everyone to be there, but we still love it and it's fun.
Right.
Tess also said, in Immortal in Death, when he was happy, Eve related with him on a personal level, dropping the barrier between them. The whole section is great in his office, his apology and regrets, his comment on closing case before her honeymoon, and her reply, sure, when the guy designing my dress is in holding. Okay. Yeah, so like, they're talking about how they navigated that whole beginning of that case.
Right.
And he's very much like, I trust you on this, which we get in the very first book. We see that like Whitney is 100%. I know this is my best fucking cop.
Right. Well, I think the issue here though, is that, the previous book in Glory, that is when they're talking about Cicely Towers, and he's telling her all about like she was like a member of the family, and he said, you know, you wouldn't know about family, you wouldn't understand family, yeah. Dallas.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, that was out of line,
and he apologized, but it he thinks about, well, it, you know, he apologizes, and he said that was uncalled for, unfair. He dropped his hands. You've never lost anyone close to you, have you? And she said, not that I remember. And he said, it shreds you to pieces. And so the beginning of when they're talking in Immortal, it says, Whitney folded his hands on his desk and studied her. He'd made a mistake with Eve, a mistake in a case that had affected him personally. He understood she had yet to set it aside. He had her obedience and her respect, but the nebulous friendship that could have existed between them was gone.
God, it's been forever since I've read Immortal too. I want to say, like, I feel like overall though, he's really actually quite gracious about accepting his flaws, like being like, I was wrong, I did this wrong. There's like no, I don't know, I feel like people who are in those levels of power, I don't know, because I don't actually know those people, you know, but I feel like there's a sort of expectation of them to be unyielding and unable to be relatable and unable to like see themselves as being incorrect or have made a mistake, you know? Right. And like, and that is not the character that Nora has given us.
No.
Whitney is, when he makes a mistake, he owns up to it. He trusts Eve. He respects her. I think he even kind of delights in her little bits of like idiosyncrasy, yeah, you know?
Absolutely. He does. Yeah.
He really, really does. Like, he's just, so this moment here, like in this, you know, that they just brought up in Immortal, I think that that's one of those things where like Eve needed that apology,
mm-hmm.
but more than like her needing that apology, the future of their relationship needed that apology. And I know that like the way that's worded, as I just now heard you reading it, it kind of insinuates that like that's fucked up and that they could never have a closer relationship. But I feel like that apology is actually the thing that brings them back on track, you know, because they are friends.
Well, I mean, I think she was, I think it didn't happen until Immortal. Yeah. But,
right. That's.
So, yeah, but he, you know, that he recognizes though, that like you said, he made a mistake in, and,
yeah. Which is like such a huge thing. God, when people admit to have made mistakes, that's like just such an appealing trait in a person.
Right. And on Eve's part, you know, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered as much, but, you know, he is one of the people, you know, the very few people that she really, really admires, like him mm-hmm. and Feeny. You can tell that Eve just really looks up to them, admires them, all of that. So to have somebody like that say something to you like that is would be pretty devastating, and it would take you a while to get over it.
I mean, yeah, but it's pretty and pretty cruel, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, why would she even say that?
Right. Like, it's reactionary, and it's human. That doesn't mean that it's okay, but it's reactionary and human, and makes it easier to again look at him and go, that's not an untouchable human. That's not a person with excessive power.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, I mean, in Immortal, I think she does kind of recognize that he is trying to kind of make amends for what he had said. Because right after that, right after he thinks that, you know, that their friendship that they could have had was gone, he says, it says, Dallas, he began as she turned to leave. He bit down on his pride. Eve, I haven't had the chance to offer my best wishes personally for your upcoming marriage. Surprise flickered in her eyes before she controlled it. Thank you. I hope you'll be happy. So do I. A bit unsettled, she made her way through the maze of Cop Central to her office. So yeah, I mean, you know, slowly starting to build that back up.
Exactly.
And obviously, after a few books, you can tell that they're back, but still not to the point where she's willing to call him Jack, apparently.
You know, and she's still never going to be able to call him Jack. That's not, that's like
she
trying.
Might. You know what? If she gets a captaincy, and now she's kind of like not retired, but she's kind of more on his level. She doesn't feel so much like a subordinate of his, but more maybe. Like a colleague. She might.
Yeah. Right. It's one of those things where you're like, maybe.
Who knows?
Oh, Eve. Let's see. Melanie said when he tells Abernathy exactly how he can explain Cobb's physical injuries in his report, backing up Eve's unorthodox handling of the situation with Foy's politics and protection for his people. Yeah, we do love that. We do love that he absolutely is like, you know, I know what's up.
Well, and he really, when you think about it, He says to Abernathy, in his attempt to escape, capture, and cause harm to civilians, the prisoner assaulted Rourke, whom he vowed to kill. They engaged in a physical battle during which the expert consultant civilian attached to the NYPSD contained the prisoner, who is now herewith remanded to your custody. I mean, none of that is incorrect.
Right, exactly.
So.
He knows what the fuck he's doing. That's why he's the commander. Jen said the Ireland trip was definitely one. Another is when he turns Anna's picture around when talking to Eve about something that concerned her. She couldn't remember what book that was. And I also can't remember what book that was, but I do remember that scene.
Yeah, I don't remember either what book that was.
But you remember that scene too.
Yeah.
It's laugh out loud funny. So someone remembers what book that was, that'd be great.
Well, what book would it be that he would be talking about her?
The Origin.
Yeah, no, it's the Icove Agenda, Tara.
Right? I know. I was like, fuck, what is that? Origin. guys, JD Robb has brainwashed us too. Everything is actually just about the Icove Agenda. The whole series.
Pretty soon we'll be calling, you know, the other one, the Red Horse. thing, or I don't know.
But yeah, that one.
Well, if somebody knows which book that is, they can let us know.
Please tell us.
Yeah.
Let's see. Nikki said, I think it was an apprentice when he first rides in the DLE. At first, he is not impressed, but after Eve drives, he says he has to have one for himself. I think Peabody even warns him to lock himself down before Eve takes off. I remember that scene. And, you know, he's totally, like, a lot more willing to withstand Dallas's clearly terrifying driving. I would not. Literally, the way that she is described as driving in the series, I'd be like, I'll meet you there.
Right? Yeah.
Maybe not in New York City. I guess you don't go that fast in the city, but
Eve seems to go really fast in the city.
Exactly. I was like, I don't know how she does that, but yeah.
Yeah. So
that is a good scene. I forget what book that is, though.
That's an apprentice.
Is it an apprentice? Okay.
It says they shoved off the elevator into the echoing garage. One glance told Eve they'd beaten Peabody, and that gave Whitney time to survey her ride. What kind of vehicle is this, and why in the hell don't you have better? And she says, it's my personal vehicle and better than it looks. Quickly, that she opened the locks, glancing back as she heard the elevator clump. Take shotgun, sir. As he climbed in, she sent a warning stare to Peabody. Take the back. The commander's riding with us. Eve slid behind the wheel. Speed's key. We're going in hot. As Eve turned on the engine, screamed into reverse, Peabody leaned forward and murmured toward Whitney's ear, lock down your safety, sir. Trust me. Sirens blaring, Eve burst out of the garage, barely hesitating to make sure traffic had cleared, and zipped around knotted cars, hit vertical to take a turn north. What is this thing? Whitney demanded. It's a DLE, Commander, Peabody told him, strapping in, gripping the seat with both hands. It's not even on the market yet. When it is, I want one. So, that's fun.
That is fun.
It's so fun to see that, like, it works exactly as Brooke had planned it, right? For everybody to look at it and say, that's a piece of shit, and then get in and go, what the hell is this?
Like, I want wait, one. What? Just kidding. Not unlike, I take back what I said.
So, not unlike what we were talking about on the briefing room when I said that the Bee Gees had sent out their records with a blank label, and people were like, what is this? And then everybody's like, oh, this is great. I want one, right?
And you're like, it's actually the Bee Gees. He's like, actually, it's like indestructible and does everything. Right. So,
and I can relate everything back to a Bee Gees story, apparently.
Well, I respect that as someone who is absolutely, at one point in my life, was accused of relating everything back to the Beatles. So,
well,
uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, why not? It's nice to have references that you can relay things back to.
Exactly. Listen, that's my frame of reference. If it's not yours, well, then you're welcome for me educating you.
Anyway, so let's continue.
Okay. So, Sue said the one that I was going to say was when they were watching the fish swim around the bowl. Mm-hmm. His wife made him drink that shake that sounded gross.
Yeah.
I don't remember what book it was that he like actively is like, yeah, the shake is gross. let's see. Mary Lou said when he and Dallas watched the fish.
That's an iconic scene.
Let's I, oh my God. Sorry, Facebook, were you like refresh the scene, which is, or the post, which is fucking stupid. Maureen said when he has to deal with how much he hurt Eve.
Yeah.
Which we talked about.
Yeah.
And also said when he asks Eve if she is afraid of his wife.
Yeah, that's a great scene.
And then he's like, me too.
Yes. Yeah.
When he also said the fish scene, Anna Marie said, I love several of those already mentioned, especially Immortal when the animosity breaks when he mentions Eve's honeymoon. Payback, the Rottweiler comment. Conspiracy when he has to take her badge and when he gives it back. Apprentice when he rides in her DLE. Seduction after the dinner scene I mentioned in a reply earlier. Also, six, Glory when he realizes the mistakes he's made with Eve and tries to make amends, but she throws his line about family back at him.
Yeah.
Ceremony, the scene with Feeny at his house. And I can't remember what book offhand, but when he asks Eve if she's afraid of his wife. So a lot of great material.
The scene with Feeny at his house. Oh, yeah, yeah. When Feeny confronts him about shutting him out of the case.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, so Feeny's like, Feeny goes to Whitney's house. And says,
yes.
Anna answers the door, and Feeny says, sorry to disturb you at home, man. I just need a few minutes of the commander's time. And Anna's like, of course, and how's Sheila? He says, she's fine. And she's all, she looked wonderful the last time I saw her. Her new style is terrific. Jack, you've got company. You know, Feeny's, I'm sure, like, steaming during all of this, right?
Right.
Because she's like, Feeny, you give Sheila my best now. And he's like, I will, thanks. He waited until the door swung closed, never taking his eyes off Whitney. God damn it, Jack.
Come on.
Like, yeah. And he's like, this should be discussed in my office, Feeny. I'm talking to you, to someone I've known for 25 years, to someone who knew Frank. Why'd you cut me out of this? Why did you order Dallas to lie to me? And he says, that was my decision. The investigation had to be on a need-to-know basis. And Feeny says, and I didn't need to know. And Whitney says, no, you didn't need to know. And he says, Frank and I raised some of our kids together. Alice was my godchild. Frank and I rode as partners for 5 fucking years. Our wives are like sisters. Who the hell are you to decide? I don't need to know he's being investigated. And Whitney says, your commander. And the reasons you just stated are the very reasons I made that decision. And he says, you pushed me aside. You know damn well my division should have been involved. You need the records. And Whitney says, records were part of the problem. There was no record of a heart defect in his medical files, no record of a connection, personal or professional, between him and a known chemi dealer. And Feeny says, Frank had nothing to do with illegals. And Whitney continued, no records, and his closest friend is the best e-detective in the city. Feeny's eyes went wide and his color rose hot. You think I wiped records? You had Dallas looking at me? No, I don't think you wiped records, but it wasn't something I could ignore with IAB breathing down my neck. Who would you have picked to do the work, Feeny? I knew that Lieutenant Dallas would be thorough and careful and that she'd bust her ass to clear both you and Frank. I knew she had contacts that could access those records. So, and he's like, you know, I trained her, and Whitney says, what would you have done? Straight, Feeny, you've got a dead cop who's been tagged buying illegals from a suspected dealer who's under surveillance. There were drugs in the system when he died. Your gut tells you no way he was dirty. Maybe your heart's telling you too, because you remember that when you were both rookies, but IAD's got no gut and it's got no heart. What would you have done? And it says, because he had a sleepless night to think on it, to worry the steps, Feeny shook his head. I know I don't want your job, Commander. And Whitney says, you'd be crazy to want this job. So
it's a great scene, just seeing like how Whitney is such a good commander, you know, how he handles that situation. Cause that is clearly not a good time for him.
No.
Having to have that conversation with Feeny.
But he lays it out to Feeny in a way that Feeny understands. And, you know, yeah. I think Feeny was already starting to get to that point. If it's saying like he was up all night thinking about it, I think it was
he had to let off some steam.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think Whitney knew that that's what he was doing too. but still explain it to him calmly. This is what had to be done, and you know it.
That's a good one. Just a handful more. Let's see. Cindy just said, now I'm going to have to pay more attention to their interactions. there's so much material out there. Like, I'm like, wow, how do you even pinpoint all this stuff?
Yeah, you know, it's like, we do, because we read these books multiple times, and especially when we review one, we go through it like in detail. So clearly we know all this stuff, but I know that people, especially if you've only read a book once or twice, sometimes things like that don't pop out to you.
Yeah. Shalita said, I love the scene with him and Rourke eating snacks, watching Eve take down the murdering old lady that his wife hates.
Yeah.
What book was that?
That was not concealed. Gosh, what was the name? Hang on a sec. Let me find it.
So, like, the memory of it's so abandoned. Big in my head.
No, abandoned. Forgotten. Sorry. Forgotten.
Forgotten. Yeah.
Because remember it was that old lady and she tried to shoot Eve?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just eating snacks.
Yeah, they're in the, you know, they're in the room watching.
Mm-hmm.
He goes into the room and he sees Rourke and he said, this should be interesting. Are you observing, Rourke? And Rourke's like, I am. Yes, it'll be very nice to have your company, Jack, as well as Charlotte. And Whitney says, I promise to keep Anna informed. She despises Eleanor Singer. An incident 20, maybe 25 years ago involving table decor at a gala, of course. You know, I mean, like, really, you know.
You know, Anna Whitney knows what she's about. And so, and her husband also knows what she's about. And he's just like, this is what it is.
So then he says to Rourke, but as she's not here, we'll get snacks and enjoy them, because I have every confidence in my officers, our prosecutor, and the doctor to wrap these two up and serve them a very large, very unpleasant platter of justice. He rose, turning to Rourke. I want chips. There should be some salt and vinegar chips in vending, which are now banned by Anna's decree from our home and my office. I'm buying. We'll get you a share, Dr. Mira, and Rourke says, we should have fizzies with that. Do it upright. A little so bemused, good. Eve watched them walk out. Well, that was unusual.
He's just being a real relatable dude, guys. It's who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if this is somebody that you know and you've hated for a while, and now obviously they're going to get their comeuppance. Absolutely.
Great.
They're like, give me the chips and the soda. Let's do this thing.
Just want to snack and be entertained. Wendy said, I liked just about every scene with Whitney, which is fair. Like, I feel like I usually enjoy when he's around. He is around the correct amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't have that much fun when, like, the big boss is around. So, correct amount of time. She also said, in my head, I've cast Eamon Walker to play him. So that's the image I have.
Okay.
That's why we do our casting in our heads, because we have an image in our heads.
Uh-huh.
So why shouldn't it be someone else that already exists that you can't be like, yeah, this is what I see. But
yeah, I mean, well, we've done that several times. We've done fantasy casting, and yeah, I mean, you know,
I mean, sure. That's kind of what we're doing anyway when we do the fantasy casting.
Yeah,
when I'm reading the books or listening to them, there's a vague resemblance to someone famous, or I wouldn't have that visual. So, Dana said, when Whitney and the chief meet at Dallas's house to watch Corn, very well done. That is, what fucking book is that? That was,
I'm thinking that it's,
it was a newer one.
Yeah. So it was, it's Purity.
Was it Purity?
Yeah.
Yes. Cause okay. Yeah. That's a pretty fantastic scene. Why did I think that was a newer book? Maybe I read Purity more recently than I thought. Or that one's just ingrained in my head. Yeah, that's a great one.
Let's see. I'm trying to find. Yeah, so they're talking about the case prior to. Because he meets them. Tibble, Whitney's already over there. Tibble walks into the room. They're talking about, you know, what's going on. And it says, he took the evidence bag she offered. Jack, looks like we're going to start the day with some porn. and Eve says, I ended mine with it, Eve said, and made Tibble roar with laughter. Job's never dull. And she says, how much am I cleared to tell my team? Trust is a two-way street. I leave that up to you. He rose. If Peachtree is part of this, we'll take him down. You have my word on it. Because, yeah, she's telling him all about the discs. And then she's telling him, you know, 5 data discs, 12 video discs. She gestured to her desk. All contents are logged and sealed. Since you're being very cautious, Lieutenant, those contents must be hot. She met Whitney's eyes. They are. The discs contain his underground books. He kept good records, but they also contain daily journals. His deterioration from the infection is well documented on them, demonstrating increasing pain, paranoia, anger, and confusion. And Tibble says the vids are blackmail. On those vids are a number of very prominent citizens recorded in compromising, illegal, and/or embarrassing sexual situations. Among them are a criminal court judge, the wife of a college professor, a vocal conservative party supporter who I believe I can and will connect to Clarissa Price, a well-known media personality, and the mayor of New York. Oh, Christ, Tibble stared for a full 5 seconds, then pressed his fingers to his temples. This is a confirmed ID on Peachtree. Yes, sir, I recognized him, but followed up with an image scan. Then it's a fucking mess. All right, so the idiot cheated on his wife and got recorded. And he's like, sir, it's a little bit more involved than straight adultery. Spell it out, Dallas, Whitney said impatiently. We're grown-ups here. And she says, he was dressed in women's clothes and had a sweaty sexual session with another man, which included a little dominance and punishment and oral gratification and consummation. It just gets better and better, Tibble sat back, rested his head on a cushion of the chair, studied the ceiling. Mayor Stephen Peachtree is a transvestite who is being blackmailed by a sex and illegals broker who is now dead, whose death was precipitated by a terrorist organization now responsible for 7 murders.
No big deal.
And he's like, in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's so great.
So, yeah, they don't watch it together, but she's telling them about it, and they're like, oh, we're all screwed. She watched it with Rourke. I remember that.
Yes, she absolutely did.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't think, yeah, no, I don't want to see the mayor.
You're like, no, I'm good. I'm actually good. That is, nope, it's fine.
So even Rourke's not that much of a burp.
Heidi said, I've always enjoyed the scene where he offers Eve a captaincy and thankless. It shows he really is paying close attention and knows her well. I do love that. And he also is like, not entirely surprised when she's like, nah.
Yeah, he knew it.
Susan said, I love Whitney in New York to Dallas when they have the conference and the 2 people from the prison where McQueen escaped from are late. They previously. That's a really, I forgot about that one. They previously delayed providing the information that Whitney requested and come empty-handed. Whitney tells them off, threatening to go public before kicking them out of his office. When they actually risk if he'd do that, Eve confirmed that he will do exactly what he said. Yes.
Yep.
And then another similar scene in Seduction when they meet with the idiot detective who blocked Eve as the senator's crime scene and his captain. Eve takes the idiot detective down and Whitney backs her up.
Yeah.
Which we talked about. And then She also said, I went and reread the scene from Seduction after the other captain leaves and he promises to deal with the idiot detective. Whitney says that's the first time he's personally witnessed her dressing down an officer, and her rep is well deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Eve apologizes for talking back to Whitney, and he has none of that. He also expresses concern about Eve's lack of sleep and commands her to get 8 hours of rest once they wrap up the case. It's not the only time he gets on her about her well-being.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. And then there's two more. Tracy said his reaction when Eve got shot, the one where the homeless woman was killed, and Eve and Peabody were called to the scene with the human remains.
Forgotten, yeah.
Yeah, it's forgotten. Yeah. And then Mark said, I wish when he says to you, do you think I'm not pissed, he would act more pissed. I would have liked to know more about the smiting and or retribution he promises to the clowns who deserve them. Whatever happened to the cop who got Trueheart injured and witnessed? That's right.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's almost more frightening when he doesn't.
I agree when he's like, I mean, that's part of his job. He's the commander.
Mm-hmm.
He has to walk into the situation. He has to walk into the scene and be like terrifyingly calm.
Right.
Because you know this man means business when he's not losing his head, you know, and he's being calm and collected and terrifying. I don't know. I always imagined him as just being like one of those people who like he could whisper and the whole fucking room's going to hear. Like,
yeah.
you are paying attention to this man.
Yeah. So I am looking through what I wrote down here. I didn't get to all the books, but I got to a few of them to pull out like good scenes.
Mm-hmm.
One of those scenes is in Betrayal. Remember that had the two FBI agents and one was Jacoby and he was like an asshole.
The worst. Yeah.
And he got in an argument in Whitney's office with Eve.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're assaulting and threatening a federal officer. And he was like, funny, I thought I was assaulting and threatening a federal asshole. You want to take a shot at me, Jacoby? She tilted her chin up in invitation. Go ahead, right here, in front of all your friends and associates. Let's see which one of us walks out on 2 feet. Lieutenant, sir, she acknowledged Whitney, but kept her eyes on Jacoby's. His were starting to water. Your presence is required at Central to finalize formal complaint against agents Jacoby and Stowe. Let that idiot go, he said mildly. He's not worth it. Affirmative, Eve murmured, then released Jacoby's wrist and stepped back. Perhaps it was embarrassment, or perhaps he was simply a moron, but he lunged at her. She didn't think, she didn't hesitate. With a half pivot, she shot her elbow up, caught him just under the chin. She heard his teeth snap together an instant before he went down. She had a moment to hope he'd bitten off a chunk of his tongue before he scrambled to his feet, eyes dazed. And he's like, I'm filing charges. Whitney stepped between them. And he's like, I'm filing charges. Well, he probably said, like, I'm filing charges.
Probably.
Blood trickled out of Jacoby's mouth as he fumbled for his communicator. I wouldn't advise that, agent. You came at my officer, a violent action, when her back was turned. She defended herself. That's on record. With a fierce grin, he patted his own lapel recorder. Make that call, and I'll have you up before your own disciplinary committee before your tongue stops bleeding. You're not just taking on my officer. You're taking me on and my whole goddamn department. So back off before I see what's left of your career is flushed down the toilet.
So good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, right after that says, they walked toward the elevator. Feeney examined his fingernails. Should have followed through with Anita's balls. Good job, Feeney.
So good.
I would have, but he doesn't have any. And then she turns to Whitney. Commander, I apologize for her. And he says, don't spoil it. He stepped into the elevator, rolled his shoulders. I have to get out in the field more often. I forgot how much fun it could be. He says, I have a number of calls to make, a number of years to burn. When he left, Feeney says to Eve, he's revved up. And Eve says, is he? Yeah, you didn't know him when he worked the streets. Got cold blood, Jack does. Heads will be rolling by the end of shift, and he won't have broken a sweat.
Getting Feeney's take in that little moment is great, too.
Yeah.
Well, the first one on your list is literally just him calling Simpson a dickless son of a bitch.
Right.
And yeah. Naked. That's great.
Yeah. Then there's one down here in Divided, where the guy's name is Sparrow.
Oh, that guy sucks. Yeah.
And he's like accusing Eve of leaking Bissell's association with the agency to the press. You've involved the HSO in a goddamn media circus to protect your own damn hide. Anyway, they go back and forth. And then Whitney says, you know, sit down. And she says, I can't. She says, do you know what I'll do with this information, AD Sparrow? Commander, Eve began, stand down, Lieutenant. Whitney pushed to his feet, towered over Sparrow. Do you or your superiors understand what I can and will do with this information if you continue to harass my officer or in any way attempt to infringe on her duties or smear her reputation? It won't be leaked to the media. It'll be flooded to them. You'll be washed away in the tidal wave of public outcry. Your agency will need generations to recover from the legal tangle and the public relations nightmare. You take that back to whoever holds your leash, and you make sure they know who it came from. Then, if you want to take me on, you come ahead. You're going to, and Eve's like, Commander Whitney, you're going to walk away now, Sparrow, Whitney warned. Walk away before you end up taking the punch for something that happened when you were still drooling on your bib. Sparrow walked over to retrieve his briefcase. I'll relay this information, he said, and went out. You need to pull yourself together, Dallas. And Eve's like, sir, yes, sir.
Yeah, he doesn't fuck around, man.
Yeah, I mean, and he doesn't need to get more angry than that for you to understand how bad it will be.
Yeah, if you're not, like, fucking terrified after having that man say those words to you, you're an idiot.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you have a favorite Whitney moment. But one of my favorite Whitney moments wasn't talked about in the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in Seduction when they go over to Dunwood's mother's apartment. And it says, Sarah Dunwood lived in a two-level apartment in a quiet building only blocks from her son. Security pissed around with the usual retired for the evening, not receiving visitors, until Eve drilled through the muck with badge, warrant, and bitter threats. Impressive, Whitney commented as they stepped on the elevator. But tell me, is it technologically possible to rip out a motherboard and stuff it up a computer's ass? And Eve's like, I've never had to follow through, sir. The threat's usually sufficient.
God, I forgot about that one. It's so good.
And there's so another good one in Rapture. Eve's telling Whitney about how Jamie came over, like snuck into their compound and had a homemade jammer, blah, blah. So Whitney says, a homemade handheld jammer, you said? One the kid jerry-rigged that managed to bypass the outer layers of security on that fortress you live in? And he says, so it would seem. And he says, where is it? You didn't give it back to him. And he's like, I'm not an idiot. She said as if she'd been slapped on the wrist. Rourke has it. And as she completed the sentence and the thought, her training slipped through enough for her to wince. Rourke has it. Despite the situation, Whitney threw back his head and laughed. Oh, that's rich. You gave the wolf the key to the hen house. He caught her narrow-eyed scowl and muffled the next chuckle. Just trying for a little levity, Lieutenant. Yes, sir. Ha ha. I'll get it back. And he says, no offense, Dallas, but if you're taking bets, I've got 100 I'll put on Rourke. In any case, unofficially, the department appreciates his assistance and cooperation. So yeah, she's never getting that back.
No.
Nope. He knows it.
Oh my God. I don't know that I have a favorite Whitney moment. I think just, I do like the fish scene.
Yeah. Another good one that I put down here, and we don't have to read it, I guess, but is in Treachery when Oberman's father wants to talk to Eve, and he's in mm-hmm. Whitney's office and realizes after he's talked to Eve that Eve's not the problem, his daughter is. And just the way that Whitney talks about him when he leaves, like, this is just going to kill him, you know?
Right.
That it's, this is, you know, this is kind of a stain on his name, on his reputation. And Eve's trying to say, like, well, it's her reputation, not his. And Whitney says, no, she's his child. So it's his reputation also, you know, like, you're not a parent, but you know, it's going to smear your name, even if it's your child, essentially.
It's so smart. Like, the two of them are like, I don't know, their interaction here and like how Eve or how Whitney is like, yeah, this is, I'm not trying to like tell you, you don't know something because you're like, I don't know. I feel like the way he says it to her is like, I'm not trying to tell you that you're wrong. I'm trying to inform you about, these are the things that you think about because I have a legacy and Overman has a legacy. And like, he almost is discussing legacy without actually saying those words.
Right.
And it's great because it parallels. And I think that the way that Nora wrote it in the book is there's like a, there's a different parallel scene between her and him at another point in the book and her and Peabody at another point in the book. And like the interweaving of all of that.
Right.
Cause it's also, he also in that book, another scene I really liked in that book is when she tells him like about how they can use Nadine and Peabody to like have, you know, stronger media presence or something like that. And he's like, I thought you said you didn't want to be, you know, promoted. I thought like you hated the media and here you are, you're like so good at that. And she's like, no, don't ever suggest I could do more media or something like that.
It's, exactly.
It's
yeah.
a great, and he knows what he's doing when he says that to her.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of really good moments in that one where you can just tell that there's so much respect between the two of them.
Yeah, there is. I mean, he sees Eve for who she is, you know. First of all, you have to talk about this man and Tybalt too, who yeah. I mean, especially because of the case in Divided. And I think also after Vengeance, doesn't she tell them about what happened with Marlena in Vengeance? And she shows them the pictures.
I think she does.
And, you know, how she puts it is like, it, you know, all of these men that tortured this girl were murdered and the police blamed Rourke. Or people blamed Rourke. Yeah, and she didn't say Rourke did it. She just said people blamed Rourke.
He was blamed because she knows better.
Right. And they do too, but they also don't say anything. They, yeah. you know.
Yeah. There's because, a lot of that in, yeah. in the earlier books in the series, even when it's like, they're still very sus of Rourke, they trust Eve, you know?
Right. Well,
even when he's like, I don't know how I could possibly trust all of this because Rourke, he still does because Eve is his best cop.
Right. And he knows Rourke and, you know, it goes to what is justice versus just what is following the law.
Yes. You know?
And the fact that they know, I mean, after Divided, they knew everything that went on with the HSO. And Eve's father in that scene that we already read. And it's like, you know, she can be secure in the knowledge that that is not something that's ever going to be brought up or ever right. going to be, you know, leaked to the media because they understand. You know, Whitney especially understands, like, this is part of what made her who she is. It's not going to do anybody any good to make a big deal out of any of this. And, you know, I think he probably, as we do, admires her for having come out of that and and done what she has done with her life. So it's nice in these moments when he really goes to bat for her.
Yeah, he does that quite a bit in the series because he's freaking great.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That was the end of your list, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, we know there's more. We know there's more. Yeah. So
it's a huge task to go through every single book and try to pick out.
So there are so many books, friends.
Yeah. Again, AI would really help with that. Like, you know,
right?
Go through AI, all of these books in my Kindle and pick out all of the scenes with Commander Whitney. Would be really nice to be able to do, but can't do that yet. Someday.
No, AI just makes weird pictures of people have extra fingers on their hands.
Well, it does help you edit a video, I found out. But
sure, yeah. Yes, you
know,
did.
Some things are going to be, you know, it is really helpful in some situations.
It helped you edit video and be right.
Exactly. I knew I was right, but it's like.
Well, yes, you were absolutely right.
It helped me prove that I was right. Anyway. So, yeah,
that was great.
We can probably talk more about this. I'm sure that people will comment other things as we go along, and we'll read your comments as you send them to us.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll come back to Commander Whitney for sure.
Yeah. And obviously, we'll talk about him on every episode that we do because he's part of every episode, pretty much.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And all the book episodes, but anyway, you know, in any case. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so should we do podcast business?
Let's do some podcast business.
All right. I don't think we have any. What am I trying to say?
I don't know, ma'am.
I don't think we have any like emails or texts or anything that is of general concern. I'm only saying that because we've had a few comments on our Patreon.
Oh.
And we had talked on our Patreon about doing a movie watch
of the Warriors.
Of the Warriors movie. The movie The Warriors from 1979. Because of the fact that Lin-Manuel Miranda is making or has made a musical based on The Warriors.
Yes.
And that's something we're thinking about doing for on our Patreon. I know that both Nisi and Pansy have said that they have Amazon Prime and are up for a movie watch of that. They both are close to my age. Not many people are my age, but close to my age. And they remember the movie from when they were young. So they're up to watching it again. If you're not a patron and you have Amazon Prime and you want to become a patron and perhaps do a movie watch with us of The Warriors. And then I think we also talked about doing a movie watch of Xanadu.
Yes, we did.
So that may be coming up if you're a patron. So if that's something you're interested in.
Just very random because we went there. We got there. Well, it was like talking about the Warriors spiked discussion of Xanadu. So,
right. Yeah. And we talked about the Warriors only because it has become a musical by Lin-Manuel Miranda. And I asked Tara if she knew anything about that musical, and she didn't. And she hadn't seen the Warriors. So I was like, well, you know, you need to see the Warriors and have that reference point for that. So yeah, I think next week is, we review the reviews of Obsession.
Yes, right? That's right.
And then after that will be something else that we don't know yet.
That we don't know. So that's what we're good at.
And our next book that we're going to talk about is Devoted, which I haven't started reading yet. But
oh, me either.
Looking forward to. I don't remember liking that book. Only not because it's not a good book, but because I hated the killers.
Yeah, they were pretty fucking terrible.
Yeah, I just hated them. So that's why I haven't reread it. So I'm not looking forward to that. But it's not one, because some of them, like Obsession, I don't have any problem because I like to play audiobooks as I'm falling asleep.
Right.
And I don't have any problem playing those as I fall asleep. I don't think I'm going to do that with Devoted.
No.
Not going to happen. So I have to go back to one of the old standards, like, you know.
Reading?
Huh?
Like reading?
No, I mean, I have to go, to fall asleep, I have to go back to the old standards, like, you know, Pride and Prejudice or something like that.
Right.
You know, I will listen to it as I read, but not when I'm falling asleep. Because I just don't think that that's...
That's probably not going to be helpful.
Probably, yeah, it's not a good idea to do that. As usual, if you have an idea for a show, let us know. And we'll... Because we're always looking for ideas. You can let us know by contacting us either on our Facebook page. If you're not a member of our Facebook page, you know, you can be a member. You can suggest topics that way. You can send us an email at show@podcastanddeath.com. You can call the number at 205-476-2753. And that spells out 2054 Rourke. And, you know, we're all on all the social media. Well, not all the social medias. We're on Instagram and
we have a Facebook group.
What?
We have a Facebook group. If you're not already on there.
And we do have a TikTok.
We have TikTok.
We do have a TikTok, so that you can message us there. So, but mostly Facebook and Instagram. That's where you can message us.
Or call the number.
Or call
send us an email.
Yeah. Either one. We like getting either of those.
Yes.
So I think that's it for this episode of Podcast and Death.
Okay.
So for Podcast and Death, this is AJ.
This is Tara.
And we'll see you next week, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Podcast and Death. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We would greatly appreciate it. Podcast and Death is hosted by Amy Ryan, Jen Terpstra, and Tara Corkery, and is edited and produced by Amy Ryan. The opinions expressed on this show are for entertainment purposes only and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the in-death fandom at large. Podcast and Death is not in any way affiliated with Nora Roberts, Berkeley, Penguin Publishing Group, or St. Martin's Press. Our theme song is Justice Never Sleeps by Cosmo and is available on Shutterstock.com. This episode and all of our previous episodes are available at podcastindeath.com. Have something to say? You can email us at show@podcastindeath.com or find us on social media by searching for Podcast and Death on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, you can call us and leave a message at 205-476-2753. That spells out 2054-ROARKE. Thanks again for listening. And in the immortal words of Brian Kelly, fucking slauncha to you. I'm not going to do that.